Okay, good morning everybody. And once again, as we do every week, we'd like to welcome everyone and thank everyone for coming to get together to learn Sunday morning. I would like to announce that today's shiur, first and foremost, has been dedicated by Mr. Abraham Getzel, with Zecher Nishmas, his wife's grandmother, Rivka Bas Freya. Rivka Bas Freya should be an iwui for her neshama. I'd also like to mention in absentia Mr. Harvey Lichtman, who is the heart and soul behind the everything that goes on in the shiur, so he could not be here today because of the fact that Baruch Hashem, he has a simcha coming on Tuesday. His son Yoni is getting married, Lag BaOmer. So we'd like to wish him mazel tov, even though he's not here. And Mirtz Hashem, there should be tremendous nachas from the zivug of this new couple that's getting married. Okay, today's shiur is based on a pasuk in yesterday's parsha, and I would just like to start off with an old joke that they say over. They say the story that years ago, 30, 40 years ago, so a fellow walks into the bakery, the kosher bakery, and he asks the store owner, is this stuff here yashan? So the store owner says, yashan, are you kidding? Everything is fresh, it was made just today. So we have, the mitzvah of yashan, or actually the mitzvah of not eating chadash, is found in yesterday's parsha, which is why I chose to speak about it. We have tucked in the middle of the parsha the pasuk which says, "V'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo sochu ad etzem hayom hazeh." The Torah says that until etzem hayom hazeh, this is a reference to the second day of Pesach, that you should not eat. This pasuk is found in conjunction with the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, which we've spoken about, is linked to the Karban HaOmer. The Karban HaOmer was a special Karban that was brought on the second day of Pesach. And the Torah tells us that that all new grains, lechem, koli, v'charmel, refer to different types of grains which grow, lo sochlu, you should not eat, ad etzem hayom hazeh, until this very day, ad haviachem es karban alokechem, until you bring the carbon, referring to the carbon haomer, chukas olam l'zarosechem, this is a chok, this is a law for all the generations, v'chol moshvoseichem. V'chol moshvoseichem literally translates in all of your dwellings. And we will see that these last two words are controversial, exactly what they mean, and it would have an impact on the discussion that we're going to have. But this is what the Torah says, that one should not eat lechem, koli, v'charmel. The Chazal say that this actually is a reference to the five basic grains that we have, that being wheat, barley, oats, rye, and spelt. The five grains cannot be eaten until the second day of Pesach, which means that a crop which grows, let's say during the winter, or whatever, could have grown earlier than that, cannot, any new produce, any new grains, cannot be consumed by a person until the Karban HaOmer is brought, until this special Karban was brought on the second day of Pesach. And thus, if a crop had been harvested, let's say, Purim time, or perhaps earlier than that, so the farmer would have to hold the grain until the second, or he could sell it, and nobody would be able to eat it until the Karban HaOmer was brought. Once the Karban HaOmer was brought, then everything became mutter. What is the reason behind this mitzvah? So the Sefer HaChinuch, we have it here on the sheet, the Sefer HaChinuch says a very interesting thing. He says that the sharshei ha-mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah is l'fi she'ikr mechiyosin shel brios hibetzvuos, because the basic sustenance of a person is through grains, right? Until very recently, the staple of every meal was bread, were the grains, right? We know this from other halachos. This is why a person says the bracha of hamotzi on a meal in which he's eating bread and does not need to recite any other bracha. The reason being because the bread was the ikar, and everything that he ate with the bread was considered just secondary, tuffle to the bread. So bread and grains are the basic sustenance of a person. And therefore he says, Balkain roi lahakrav mehem karban lahashem asher nasanam. And therefore a person should show appreciation and bring a carbon from them to Hashem, terem yehanu mehem briosav, before deriving benefit, before people, before God's creation should benefit from his grain, people, we should give thanks. Ukein Masha Amr Zechanu Lebracha, and the Sefer Chinuch continues, this is similar to the concept of saying Lebracha. We have the Gemara which tells us, Kol Anena Min Ha'om Azeb Lebracha Mo'al, that anybody who takes a benefit that derives a Hanah from this world without reciting a Bracha is considered to have sinned, meaning that you have to show appreciation to God first, and therefore he says, Bechol Zeh L'Hachshir Atzmeinu Sh'ni Yeruim L'Kabu Mituvo. This is so that we should be in the proper frame of mind in order to appreciate what we have. A big part of Yiddishkeit is appreciation. To appreciate what we have. We live in a world where everything is taken for granted. We live in a generation of what's called in Yiddish as kumtmir, everything is coming to me. But that's not the attitude of a Jew. A Jew is supposed to appreciate what he has, appreciate what he's been given. And therefore, the mitzvah here is that a person should appreciate that the grains don't just come by themselves, Hashem gives them to us, and therefore we should bring a bracha, we should bring a carbon from them before we begin to eat them. And this is the idea that one cannot eat what's called chadash, the new grain is called the chadash, one cannot eat chadash until the carbon ha'omer is brought. Once the carbon ha'omer is brought, then everything becomes yashan. Then everything takes on the title of now it's not new anymore, now it's old. Okay, so whereas in our culture, right, we shun that which is old and we always look for something which is new, but in this halacha, something which is new is not good. We look forward to it becoming old. What does it mean? It's old. Old doesn't mean literally that it's old in the classical sense, but it means that we have passed over Pesach. Which would mean that today we stand, today it was just Pesach Sheni, we're a month after Pesach, so today everything is Yashan. Anything you could get would be Yashan, doesn't matter when it grew, for the simple reason that it passed over Pesach. We just had Pesach a month ago. Now even though today we don't have the Karban HaOmer, you'll say, so what do? The Torah says, Ad HaVi'achem Es Karban HaOkeichem, until the Karban is brought, we don't have this Karban today. So nevertheless, the halacha applies even after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. The halacha applies, the Torah says, Chukas Olam L'Doraseichem, through all the generations, and therefore, even though we don't have the Karban HaOmer, but we would have to wait until the time that the Karban HaOmer would have been brought. It happens to be, just for the record, if you wanted to be technical, so the Karban HaOmer being that we observe today the Sveika D'Yoma in Chutz La'aretz, so therefore the second day of Pesach by us might even be the third day of Pesach. Right, well, by us, the first day of Chol HaMoed is the suffix of the second day of Pesach. So therefore, one would have to wait till that day, and further the Chazal derived that in the absence of the carbon, one has to wait till the end of that day. So in reality, it comes out that one could first begin to eat the new grain on the fourth day of Pesach. By us in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael, it would be the third day of Pesach. Okay, so this is it. This is the mitzvah of eating only those grains which are yashan, and something which is chadash is prohibited. So now, the question that we have to ask ourselves is that why is it, now this is a mitzvah in the Torah, this is as much as a mitzvah in the Torah as the mitzvah which says you're not allowed to eat chazir, right? The famous mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat unkosher food, you can't eat pig, is also a pasuk in the Torah similar to this. So how is it, how exactly do we deal with this pasuk? How do we deal with this pasuk? And in reality we know that we don't hear such a fuss made, or traditionally, over the generations, the Klal Yisrael has not made such a fuss over this mitzvah to the point that I would venture to say that most, if not all of us growing up, probably never even heard of this. It never occurred to anybody, it was a non-issue. You never heard any discussion, even in the time when people were speaking about Chol Yisrael and things like that, and perhaps even Pas Yisrael, but Yashan, what Yashan? The question is, why is that? How is it that you hear it's a mitzvah, it's a pasuk, it's a din that applies in all the generations, and we don't know from it, and we don't know from it. So the truth of the matter is that if you do a little research, you will see that in the poskim, particularly in Ashkenazic poskim, it is one after the next they, everybody, every single one is coming up for an explanation and a heter why we don't care so much about Yashan. So before we go into, before we delve into the heterim that are mentioned, I would just like to refer you on the first sheet, the second side, there is a Mishnah in Maseches Kedushin which perhaps addresses the first point that anybody would think of. And that is that we know that we have in the Shas, the first order of the Shas is called Seder Zeruim. Seder Zeruim applies to all the mitzvahs that pertain to planting. We have many mitzvahs that apply to planting. We have the laws of Kalayim and the laws of Truma and Meiser and Orla, all kinds of things. And the halacha generally is, as the Mishnah here states, this is a Mishnah at the end of the first paragraph of Kedushin, the Mishnah says, "Kol mitzvah shehitzluya ba'aretz, eina noheges ela ba'aretz." That any mitzvah which is totally in the ground, meaning that it has to do with agriculture, is eina noheges ela ba'aretz, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. V'she'eina tzluya ba'aretz, says the Mishnah. However, other mitzvahs which are not agricultural in nature, noheges bein ba'aretz v'bein b'chutz la'aretz, chutz min ha'orla v'hakalayim. With the exception of Arwa, with the exception of the halacha that you can't eat the fruits of a tree the first 3 years after they grow, and the hakilayim, after it's planted that is, and the hakilayim, and the iser of planting together two different meanim, two different types. Those are the two, the Mishnah says, which apply even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Eliezer says, Af min ha-chodesh. Also chodesh. Also, there are actually two girsos in the Mishnah, but to keep it simple, af min ha-chodesh means also chodesh. Chodesh also, the prohibition of chodesh, which is agricultural, right? In other words, it pertains to things that grow. The prohibition of chodesh also applies, according to Rabbi Eliezer, to things which grow outside of Eretz Yisrael. Which means that if we just simply concern ourselves with this Mishnah, we have what appears to be a machlokas. According to the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, according to the opinion which does not have a name attached to it, which we know generally means that it's a majority opinion, it's a das rabim, it seems to be more of the consensus opinion, is that chodash would not apply because it's Rabbi Eliezer who added it. Right? In other words, the first opinion in the Mishnah before Rabbi Eliezer does not say anything about Chodesh. So presumably that opinion holds that Chodesh only applies in Eretz Yisrael. However, Rabbi Eliezer comes along and he says, no, the Isra of Chodesh also would apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So here you have a machlokas of Tanoim, and it would seem that the majority opinion holds that Chodesh does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, which, if that was the case, would explain why we don't hear about it, or why we didn't used to hear about it. Because of the fact that we live here, the things that we eat, generally speaking, you go into the store to buy flour or pasta, whatever it is, it's all American made, and therefore it grew outside of Eretz Yisrael, it grew in America, no problem. But again, this is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Tanakhama does not say that. Now, just for the record, in case you're wondering, if you have the question, how in the world can the Tanakhama say that it does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Bechol Moshvo Seichem, right? The Pasuk says that this is a law that applies in all of your dwellings. So Bechol Moshvo Seichem should mean that it applies all over the world. So in the Chazal, we find that sometimes the interpretation of Bechol Moshvo Seichem means not all over the world, but rather after the Jewish people were established in the land of Israel. Because we know that when Yeshua led the Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, it took 14 years for them to get everything straightened out, to conquer and settle Eretz Yisrael, to be what's called in the Gemara Yerusha v'Yeshiva, took 14 years. And therefore, the Torah would be saying, B'chol Moshe Voseichem, that it's only after you're settled. It's only after the 14 years. That is the way the Tanakhama would interpret the Pasuk, and therefore the Tanakhama would say that it does not apply all over the world. However, Rabbi Eliezer would interpret the Pasuk as the Chol Moshe Voseichem to mean that it applies all over the world. So therefore we have the two interpretations of the Pasuk, and as such we have the two opinions in the Halacha. Now, if it was just this Mishnah, So we could probably end the discussion right now, because we have a klal gadol that we know, yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim, that the halacha always follows the majority opinion. And therefore, since in the presentation of the Mishnah, the first in a Mishnah, a nameless opinion is what's referred to as stam Mishnah, a Mishnah which does not have a name attached to it, means that this is not just one person's opinion. This is a consensus opinion. So the way the Mishnah is written gives us the impression that the majority hold that it does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, and that would be the halacha, and that would be simple. However, we have a Mishnah on the next page, on page 2, the first slide. We have a Mishnah, Masechet Zohar, which creates a great deal of problems for us. And that is that the Mishnah here, in the middle of the Mishnah, we find actually towards the end of the Mishnah, the second to last line, the Mishnah says the famous words, Hechodosh Osir Min HaTorah V'chol Mokom. The Mishnah here says unequivocally, without any other opinion, the Mishnah says that Chodesh is Osir Min HaTorah all over the world. This has, we don't find Rabbi Eliezer's opinion popping up here. We don't have Rabbi Eliezer on there, not so. Here it just says, Chodesh Osir Min HaTorah B'chol Makom. So this is a Stam Mishnah for sure, right? Here you have a Mishnah where there is no mention of any dissenting opinion. And therefore, based on this Mishnah, the Gedolei HaPoskim, the Amudei HaRoah, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh all conclude based on this Mishnah that the Halacha, in fact, is like Rabbi Eliezer. That even though in the Mishnah and Maseches Kedushin, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that Chodesh applies all over the world seems to be a secondary opinion, it seems to be like off the beaten path, nevertheless, we have here in Masechet Zohar a Stam Mishnah, and therefore the big three, as they say, right, the three poskim on which the Shulchan Aruch was based, the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, all conclude based on this Mishnah that the Issur of Chodesh applies all over the world. Now, we will see that this point may be debatable, but for now, it's the fact that the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh say it, that there's no question. They say that very clearly, each one in its own place, in the Gemara and Kedushin, the Rif and the Rosh say it, and the Rambam says it in his Sefer Yad HaChazaka. So therefore, based on this, we would have to go with the impression at this time that Chodesh applies all over the world. And if it does, so the question is, so what do we do about it? How is it that we even today, where you hear talk, a considerable amount of talk about Yashan, but still the majority of people don't concern themselves with it. So how is that? What do we base ourselves on? What is a person who's going to be lenient in this base themselves upon? So the first thing that we find, and as I say, if you look from the Rishonim on, everybody without exception, is looking for a reason. Incredible. It seems that in the Ashkenazic Zohar, almost nobody paid any attention to it. It's interesting, amongst the Sfarim you don't see so much talk, but amongst Ashkenazim, everybody is looking for a Teirin. We've never heard about it. You see in the Rishonim even saying, how do you explain this? One after the next. So, by the way, before we go further, I just want to mention, as Rabbi Lubian mentioned in the Dvar HaLacha, that in reality, this issue of B'chol Moshe Voseichem, the issue of does it apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, but in Eretz Yisrael, there's no question that it applies, which would mean that in Eretz Yisrael, there would be less of room to be lenient. But this shiur is discussing Chutzlar. Okay, so what would be a possible heter? So if you look here on the first sheet, the second side, so we have here the first thing, the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, the laws of Chodesh, the din of Chodesh is presented in the Shulchan Aruch in two places. It's presented in Arachayim at the end of the Hilchos Pesach in the discussion of the laws of Sefiras HaOmer, and it also has its own section in Yerideya. So here, the Ramah, this is a photocopy of the Ramah says the following. The Ramah says, Umikol Makom, on the top line, it's the first sheet, side B, he says, Umikol Makom, Kol Stam Tfua Shari La'achar HaPesach Mikolach Svek Sveka. Right? The Ramah says that all Tfua, all grain that we have is permitted due to a Svek Sveka. Now, what we have to understand is the following. the law of Chadash, it would seem, if it applies outside of Eretz Yisrael, that the discussion that we had until now is, does it apply outside of Israel or does it not? But if it does, it would apply min haTorah, meaning that the pasuk v'chol moshvo sechem is saying that it applies in all your dwellings. If that's the case, that would mean that even in Miami is v'chol moshvo sechem, which would mean that it would be an issur d'oraisa, it would be prohibited by the Torah to eat it. Now that being the case, we know that there's a rule in the halacha that even on a suffix of an issur d'oraisa, a person has to be machmir. We have the rule, suffix d'oraisa l'chumra. So therefore, simply saying, for a person to simply say that I don't know, the we have the bag of flour, whatever company it is, I don't know when it's from, how am I supposed to know if it's from a spring crop or from a winter crop, how am I supposed to know? So that alone would not do it, because you'll say it's a suffix, granted, it's a suffix, but suffix d'oraisa l'chumra, you would have to be machmir. So that would not get us out of the woods. What would is if you have what's called a svekfeker. A svekfeker means a suffix within a suffix. If you have a suffix with, you have essentially two svekers, so then it would come out that the rule of thumb is that even by an issur d'oraisa we could be lenient if there's a svekfeker. By an issur d'rabbanan you just need a suffix, because then you say suffix d'rabbanan l'kula. But by a Torah law, you have to have a suffix within a suffix to be matirit. That's called a svek sveka. So the Ramah here says that kol stam tfur would be mutter because of the svek sveka. So the Ramah comes out, the rabbi of old Ashkenazim comes out and says, no problem, it's all mutter. Why is it mutter? Because of a svek sveka. Right? So even though it's an issur d'oraisa, that's obviously, he doesn't speak it out, but that's obviously what he's worried about, that it's prohibited by the Torah, nevertheless, no problem. Okay, what's going to be the svek sveka? So he says like this, he says, first of all, safiki mishana she'avra. He says, first of all, it could be that the grain that you're eating, that, let's say, the flour that you have, grew in the past year. It's not from the year that we're in now. That's suffix number one, right? In which case there would be no problem because it's after Pesach. When he says after Pesach, he doesn't just mean now. He means, in July, August, September also, right? First of all, it could be it's from the past year. The Im Timtzu Omer Mishana Zu says the Ramah, and even if you will tell me that it was from this year, meaning that this crop that you're eating from is this year's crop, meaning it's from a spring crop, in other words, if it's from the winter crop or from last year's spring crop, there's no problem because it passed over Pesach. And even if you will tell me that it's from the current spring crop, meaning that I'm standing now, let's say at the end of July or at the end of August, and I go into the store and they have flour, and I say to myself, I don't know, it could be the spring crop already was harvested. So it could be it's from the spring crop, which came out after Pesach, in which case it would be a problem. Says the Ramah, Mikol Makom, Dilma Nishrisha Kodem HaOmer. Says the Ramah, even that would not automatically be a problem, because in order for the law of Chodesh to come into effect, it has to be not that it was harvested after Pesach, but that it took root after Pesach. In other words, in order for something to be considered Yashan, if it took root before, the farmer planted it, let's say 2 weeks before Pesach, the farmer planted it, and it took root, and then they didn't harvest it, let's just say using English months, let's say Pesach was April 15th, we'll just pick arbitrary date. Pesach was April 15th, let's say the farmer planted it on April 1st. April 1st, he planted it, it was not harvested until July 30th. And now, on August 15th, I walk into the store, and there it is, there's flour. And I say to myself, oh my gosh, it may be the stuff that was just harvested. It's chadash, I can't eat it. Says the Ramah, but that's not necessarily true. Because if he planted it April 1st, which may have happened, you don't know. You don't know when he planted it. But he may have planted it April 1st, in which case it took root before Pesach, because in the poskim is anywhere between 3 days and 2 weeks is the time it takes for something to take root. So halachically, so therefore, it would come out that once it took root, so again, Pesach took care of it. Because if it took root, let's say on April 14th, and then April 15th was the first day of Pesach, April 16th was the day of the second day of Pesach, that's the day that we care about, right? So everything is good. Because it's not chodesh. It's yoshan now. The guy didn't harvest it until much later. That doesn't matter. Because halach is, it goes by nishrisha. It goes by when it took root. So therefore, says the Ramah, that we have a spek speka. So even though this is a Torah law, and even though this is a Torah law even in chutz la'aretz, nevertheless, the Ramah says you could rely on this because you have a suffix within a suffix. When you see the grain in front of you, you have no idea when it's from, and therefore you say to yourself, first of all, who knows, it could be that it's from a long time ago, in which case it's poshut yashan. And even if it's from the more recent crop, nevertheless, it could be that crop took root before Pesach, in which case it's also yashan. So therefore you have a suffix within a suffix. A suffix within a suffix is matter even an Isser in the Torah. This is the heter that the Ramah says. What, even in Eretz Yisrael, yes. If it was a suffix, yes. It would be even in Eretz Yisrael. Now, just for the record, this Svek Sveka that the Ramah says is very controversial. I'm not going to get into the full depth of it, but basically it's based on a Tosfos that we find in Maseches Ksubos. There's a famous Tosfos which says that one cannot make a Svek Sveka. The famous law of Tosfos, rule of Tosfos, Shem Onis Chadhu, which means that if the suffix really has the same title, so then it's not considered a Svek Sveka. So therefore there are those, Rabbi Kiveger and others, who have a very difficult time understanding this Ramah, because they say, what kind of Svek Sveka is that? I mean, what are you telling me? You're telling me, first of all, maybe it was from before Pesach. And even if not, maybe it was from before Pesach. So that's not a Svek Sveka. It's the same suffix twice. If you're telling me the same thing. Now the Ramon, his defense, will tell you, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, first of all, maybe it's from the old crop. And even if it's from the new crop, maybe the new crop came about before Pesach. In other words, Ramon was not crazy. That another has to make some sense. Right? Now that's what he's saying. That we understand. But there is a rule that many people follow in constitutes a Svek Sveka is complicated. There's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. There's a whole rule, there's a whole section, Kloei Svek Sveka, how exactly you make, because you're playing with fire when you have a Svek Sveka, because you're trying to be Matur and Isser in the Torah. So therefore, it's not such a simple thing to do. So there are those who say that here, it's really the same issue. Because really what you're telling me is, maybe what I'm eating took root before Pesach. That's really the issue. So if that's the issue, it's the same suffix times two, should not count as a Svek Sveka. This is the controversy that follows the Ramah's Heter. So here we have the first possible Heter for Chodesh. In our times, in other words, if we follow the Ramah, right, then a person would not have to worry. A person would not, unless you knew. In other words, if you knew, obviously, if you knew that what you were reading was planted and harvested after Pesach, the Ramah will not help you because there is no suffix, right? In other words, this is only discussing a suffix. If you know for sure, there's no suffix. So the Ramah is talking about a situation where you don't know, which is typically the case. You go into the store, how do you have any idea when gold's flour or the Pillsbury, you have no idea when it's from. So therefore you say it's a suffix. If it's a suffix, so then no problem, because it's Svek Sveka. However, there are those who doubt the Ramah, no pun intended, right, that have a problem with this Svek Sveka, because they say that it's illegal. This is an illegal, so the formation of this Svek Sveka is illegal. This is the first possible heter and the debate that surrounds it. Now, just to go further in the Ramah, we'll see here an interesting thing. The Ramah continues and says, Ubamine tfuah shezorim vadeu achar Pesach. This is a spelling mistake here. He says that in the tfuah that was definitely planted after Pesach, kigon b'miksus medinos shezorim shibol shuol v'seorim lachar Pesach. The Ramah says, like in some countries where they would plant shibol shuol or oats and seorim is barley right after Pesach. Then you would have to be machmir, because there's no suffix. This is what we were just saying. In other words, the heter in the Ramah would only apply if you have a suffix. If you know for sure, if you know that in this country, let's say in the United States of America, they only planted barley in May. That's the one crop of the year was in May. So then there's no question that if you want to go buy barley in January, right, to the Cholent, you want to go buy yourself a bag of barley, so you say to yourself, all right, so what's the heter for this? What would be the heter? The only possible heter would be that maybe this barley is so old that it already is from before last year's Pesach, right? Because that would be the only heter, but that's one suffix. One suffix by an Issa D'Oraisa isn't good enough. So therefore, you would not have this heter, right? You would not have the heter of the Ramah, and this is what he's telling you. And he says, unless you're in a country where they import from other countries, in which case there's the possibility that you don't know for sure where it came from, and then you would have the Svek Sveka. But if you know, today it says on the bag where it grew, that we know. Right? It says product of USA, product of Chile, product of Canada, wherever, right? You look on bags, they'll tell you where the food comes from, so then it would be a little more complicated. Now, that wouldn't make a difference. That would make a difference. There's one to pass over Pesach, the pass over Pesach, that's
the same as Svek-Sveka.
Yeah, because I think that pushes that wouldn't be a Svek-Sveka. In other words, because the second side is that it was Nishrisha. In other words, that even though it's from this crop, I mean, you have to see how they explain why it's really a Svek-Sveka. It says with Cheskatis or whatever, but Lamaisa, this is what the Ramah says. So he says, therefore, and Ramah continues, V'chein b'zman, this is a key point, V'chein b'zman shi'emot ha'choref nimshokem l'achar Pesach. He says, and this was probably the case in most of Eastern Europe, he says, we're in countries where there's a long winter. If there's a long winter, means that when it comes Pesach, right, we all heard this past Pesach, and in Denver they had a blizzard, right, but, you know, here, everything's beautiful, everyone's running to come to Miami for Pesach, but in other places, they have a long winter, in which case, the crops don't grow so easily in the winter. There is such a thing called winter crops, but many crops are planted in the spring, so says the Ramah, in such a country, you could not assume that it took root before Pesach, because the winter is so long that when Pesach rolled around, nobody was planting anything yet. So he says again, then yesh lahachmir v'lochush min asam, then you would have to worry about it. Now, the Ramah concludes with a very remarkable thing. The Ramah says, avo ein lahoros v'acherim v'mokom shirov sh'tiyosan v'achilosan min anelu. Says the Ramah, having said all of this, having said that there is a possible prohibition, if you have a Svek Sveka, it would be mutter, but other than that, it would be usher, says the Ramah, don't announce this publicly. Don't give a shir. Do not give a shir on the topic of Yashan and Chodesh. This is what the Ramah says. Why? He says, Ki mutav sheyiyu shogigin v'al yiyu mizidin. You see, this is how we connect all the shirim from week to week. Right? Mutav sheyiyu shogigin v'al yiyu mizidin, we spoke about last week, right? That if people don't know that something is usher and they're not going to listen, if you tell them, so it's better not to tell them. Because if you tell them, they're going to do it anyway, they'll do that Averb Amazes. If you leave them alone, it's only an Averb Shogeg. So therefore, the Ramah says, do not give any Shiurim on this topic. Okay? So I guess that's it. It's over. We finished at 9:20. Perfect. Right? Perfect. And it just so happens to be that just fast forwarding to our time, the person there is, we'll get to it, there's a person in New York, who puts out every year a guide to those people who want to keep Yashan, who want to be careful in the law of Yashan. So he writes there in the introduction that he first started this about 25 years ago. He consulted with Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rav Moshe Feinstein said that he should not publicize it in a big manner, but rather it should be available upon request. He should not make it available in stores. For many, many years, it was not available. One could not go into any Judaica store and buy it. Because of the fact that he was told, Rav Moshe said, publish it fine, but don't make it that it's readily available. Because a lot of people are not going to be able to do it, and therefore if you tell them, so then it's going to be, this is the Ramah. Mutav sheyiyu shogegin, v'al yiyu mizidin. Okay, this is what he said. Okay, so there you have it. So, but the possible heter would be Svek Sveka. That would be the possible heter, and as we said, the Svek Sveka itself is somewhat controversial. There are people who have a problem with it. They say that this is not considered a legal Svek Sveka, and therefore this heter becomes, in the later poskim, even though the Ramah is, we don't just dismiss what the Ramah said, the Ashkenazim basically, you know, pledge allegiance to the Ramah in Halacha. Nevertheless, this particular heter, it was felt that the Ramah said this because it was considered a very difficult situation in Eastern Europe, the people that he was dealing with in that part of the world, because they had the long winters, so therefore, it wasn't so simple, and because of the fact that the people were very dependent on grain. They were very dependent on grain. The bread was all, that's all, what did people eat? Oats, bread, beer, right? The drink that people had in those days was beer. The poskim all say that it was common, that the standard drink was beer, and here you would have a problem. The beer is made from the grain, right? So the barley of the beer is chadash. You have a problem. So therefore, he looked for Hesed. This is what he came up with. Yes.
So I understand this. This halacha has been started.
Yes.
But it doesn't have an expiration. Unlike something like Mashi Barua, where you put it in at a certain point in your davening and you stop a few months later.
Right.
And start to stop.
Right.
But because it doesn't have a stop date.
Right.
Basically, anything can be from the year before.
I'm not sure I follow the analogy, but right. In other words, anything you don't know. If you don't know it to be, you have to remember, if it's just that maybe it's from the year before and it's a Torah prohibition, that's not good enough, because then you would have to say suffix or aisul chumer. You'd have to say that a suffix. The rule is that if a person says that what I'm doing now may be a violation of a Torah law, you're not allowed to do it either. Right? Even a suffix is usur. The only way to get around it would be to say it's a suffix within a suffix. That is a much bigger deal. That's much harder to come up with. That's the thing here about the Ramah. Okay, so this is what he said. Go ahead.
I mean, we know you were very...
Pesach it ends.
No, you said if it took root
after Pesach, it's a problem until next Pesach.
Until next Pesach.
That's devastating, yeah? That's devastating. That's why they're looking for a Terim. In the old days, this was all the Poskim, they say, what are we going to do? We're not going to have anything to eat. Baruch HaShulchan, even more recent times, he says, if we're gonna keep this, we'll starve. We won't have any bread, we won't have any beer, we have nothing to eat, nothing to drink, we won't have anything. So it was a very big problem. Because it was a very big problem, everybody was looking for a terem. Now, I'm just saying, so, you can't, now you have to realize that, I don't want to give off the wrong impression, just because if something is usur, it's usur. Right, in other words, that you can't just say, well, this is very hard to keep this mitzvah, so forget about it. We can't just say that. However, the halachic process is that in a shas hadchak, one has the right to, right, that the Torah is supposed to be livable. You're supposed to be with the chaybahem, you're supposed to live by the Torah. So therefore, if the Torah is supposed to be livable, the poskim always felt that we have to look to see if we could find within the halachic system a heter. So therefore, the Ramah said, okay, Ramah, who do we have like the Ramah? He said, I think it would be mutter based on a spek vega. But if not that, it's a problem. Yeah.
So we could only shop
it. Wait, hold on, but don't get nervous. It's not over yet. One sec. Have faith. What? To eat it. No, you can have it. That's right. That's only by chametz.
The Torah is expecting us to
store it
for a year?
Correct. Or not eat it until the next Pesach. Yeah. Now, if you would ask me, I don't know if I have the right to say this, but I would say probably in Eretz Yisrael, the Pesach falls out, the climate there is such that things could be planted before Pesach, and therefore even the spring crop, with the Torah, you know, based a lot of the mitzvahs in the Torah, based, you know, Eretz Yisrael is the center of the world as far as mitzvahs are concerned, and therefore it could well be, the Sefer Chinuch even alludes to this a little bit, it could be that you know, in Eretz Yisrael, not such a big deal because they could get the spring crop planted before Pesach, in which case you don't have a problem. But in countries, you know, Golos created a lot of problems, let's face it. Right? It wasn't our idea to go into Golos. So therefore, a lot of halachic problems came up because of being in the Golos. Yes?
But wouldn't the logical way out,
so that would have to follow. Right. So that, I said at the beginning, that's true, except for the fact that the Gemara seems to hold, I quite frankly, didn't have a chance to review that part, but the Gemara holds that it doesn't make a difference. And when it says, Chukas Olam Udarasechem, it applies in all the generations. In fact, you see in the Gemara in the Sefer Sukkah that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the first things, who was the leader of the people at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so one of the first takanas he made, Zecher LeMikdash, that he prohibited the eating of Chodesh on the second day of Pesach. In other words, it's a whole discussion. But you see clearly there that even after the Churban, they held that it applied, even without the Karban Omer. Yeah, yes.
If you say that the winter is so long,
yeah,
how could be a second for sure can be?
Right. Okay. Correct. I didn't mean that. That you're right. That's what the Ramah is saying. What I meant to say, if the winter is long, he himself says, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
Then you have a problem. Okay. So therefore, the Ramah's heter is not going to be so great. And as I say, it's controversial heter. It got a lot of flack. A lot of people said they don't understand what he's saying. And even he himself says that it's not going to help you so much because it depends on the situation. If you're in a place where it grew after Pesach, where you know it grew after Pesach, well, you know, then you don't have a tzvek faker. Okay.
Can we say keeping the mitzvah on hold?
Keep the mitzvah, what do you mean?
Keep the mitzvah on hold, like you're holding someone on the phone, you know?
Yeah, you mean wait? We'll wait to keep, we'll put the on. Yeah, nobody said that. Nobody said that. All right, so we have to look for a better heter. So this heter is not going to do it. So now there is a second approach which people took, which I don't want to get into. The Bach, one of the great poskim, wrote a commentary on the Torah. The Bach put forth a whole theory, a whole piece of Torah based on his claim, the Bach was Mechadish, that the law of Chodesh would not apply to something which grew by a guy. In other words, even if it applies, if something grew outside of Eretz Yisrael, however, the Bach says that it would not apply if it grew on a guy's farm. If a Jew had it. This is a very intricate thing. How he knows this, this is not mentioned in any of the poskim. The Bach is a very scholarly piece. If you read inside, he starts to manipulate different Gemaras and different things, and he proves, and it's very brilliant, but the fact of the matter is that also got a lot of criticism. His own son-in-law was the author of the Taz, right, the commentary Turei Zov, written on the Shulchan Aruch, which was the son-in-law of the Bach. He writes there he writes a critique. He says, Mori Chami refers reverently to his father-in-law, my father-in-law said this, but he says with all due respect, it doesn't make any sense. And he says, and he has tremendous, tremendous proof that this is not so. Right? So all right. So I'm not gonna. I mean, the Bach is the Bach. I'm just saying that heter didn't really gain wide acceptance, even though it's probably the most brilliant of all that theorem, how he arrived at his conclusion. But nevertheless, a lot of later poskim said they don't think he's right. He assumed certain things. It was a case of, you know, where he was putting a lot of things together, but they're helpful, and they felt that it wasn't right. So the third and final approach which the poskim take, which it could be, I mean, or I guess we would have to hope is the way out of the woods here, would be an approach which is taken. It's found in a number of poskim. It's brought in the Magen Avraham, quotes it. It actually is from the Rishonim, and it's based on a Mishnah Menachos. And the aim of this proof, or this heter, is to say that in reality, the premise that the law of Chodesh applies even outside of Eretz Yisrael may be has to be revisited, and maybe that premise is not correct. Because we said earlier that based on the Mishnah in Orla, right, we had two Mishnahs. We had a Mishnah in Kiddushin, which presents it as a machlokas, and the minority opinion is the one that says it applies in Chutz La'aretz. That would be good for us. The problem was that the Mishnah in Orla, which is a Stam Mishnah, says that Chodesh Asim and Atara B'chol Mokom, those words are impossible, right? That, what are you going to say about that? Clearly states, without, unequivocally states that it's Asim. So the thing, anyone who's going to try to say that it would be Mutter is going to have to really have his work cut out for him. He's going to say that it doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. So there were Rishonim who pointed to the following Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. And the Mishnah, which is on the second sheet, the first side, the Mishnah says, "Kol karbonos hatzibur v'ayochid bon min ha'aretz," that all the karbonos have to come from Eretz Yisrael, could come either from Eretz Yisrael, the grains, that is, if you have, let's say, a carbon mincha, whatever, you know, the different grains that were used, could come from Eretz Yisrael, u'michutz la'aretz, min ha'chodesh u'min ha'yoshan, it could be brought either from chodesh or yoshan, chutz min ha'omer u'shtei ha'lechem, except for two karbonos, the carbon omer, which was brought on Pesach, and the carbon shtei ha'lechem, which is brought on Shavuos, which both involve grains. She'enam bo'en ela min ha'chadosh. There it had to be brought from Chadosh, right? We mentioned the carbon omer had to be brought from Chadosh, from the new grain. That was the whole point of the carbon. We're thanking Hashem for the new grain, right? For the new crop. U'min ha'aret. And it had to come from Eretz Yisrael. The grains, here the Mishnah is telling us, and this again, a Stam Mishnah, the Mishnah is telling us that the grain used in the carbon ha'omer had to be brought from grain that was grown in Eretz Yisrael. And there are those who say, many people say, that the explanation for this is that the reason why it has to be brought from Eretz Yisrael is because the whole point of the carbon is to permit the eating of chadash. And therefore, the carbon that's going to permit it has to be brought from something that the Isser applies to. In other words, why can't you bring it if it grew, let's say, in the other side of grew in Syria, okay? Why couldn't you bring it from there, right? The Jews did commerce, you see in the Gemara, they traveled to those places. Why couldn't you bring it from there? The answer is presumably because of the fact that the carbon is coming to permit the Isser of Chadash. So the carbon that's going to permit it has to be from something that the prohibition applied to. So therefore, you can't bring it from outside of Eretz Yisrael, presumably because of the fact that the grain that grows outside of Eretz Yisrael is not subject to the law of Chadash. That's the way many people understood this Mishnah, in which case, maybe the whole issue has to be revisited, because now the Mishnah in Arla that everybody points to, the Rambam and the Ritz and the Rush, all point to the Mishnah in Arla and say, there's nothing to talk about. The Mishnah says clearly. But here you have another Mishnah, also a Stam Mishnah, which seems to indicate to the contrary. This Mishnah created a great deal of controversy, how we reconcile all of these things. There's a tremendous amount of discussion. One can look in the Aruch HaShulchan, he has a whole long piece of Torah to explain how we make peace with all of these sources. But in reality, this sort of opened up to people the possibility that the prohibition of Chadash, min HaTorah at least, did not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael. And in fact, we find that the Magen Avraham, which is on the second sheet, side B, the Magen Avraham, who's also desperately searching for a heter, how come we're able to eat the grain, why don't we have to worry about Chadash? So the Magen Avraham says, what he considers to be the best heter, he brings it right at the beginning of the paragraph. He says, "V'nirui she'ha'olam somchin al mashakasev rabet reish beis," stands for Rabbeinu Baruch. There is an opinion of Rabbeinu Baruch which is quoted in several places. It's quoted in the Tshuvas HaRosh. It's referred to in the Maharil, and that is that Rabbeinu Baruch says, "D'chadash d'chutz la'aret midrabanan," that the prohibition they base it pretty much on this Mishnah in Menachos, that the Mishnah indicates that by Torah law it does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's only and the fact that the Mesorah was that it applied outside of Eretz Yisrael, they say that's only Midrabanan. And you'll say, alright, so what if it's Midrabanan? Well, for one thing, if it's Midrabanan, you don't need a Sfek Sefer. So if it's Midrabanan, that right away would help you, that it would, only one Suffolk would do it. But he goes even further, and he says that if it's Midrabanan, you don't need any Suffolk. Why not? So he says, Kivan she'ein anu smuchen la'eretz Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Baruch says, because we find that there were certain gzeres that the Rabbanan made, when, for example, Truma and Meiser, so even though the law of Truma and Meiser only applies to grain grown or produce grown in Eretz Yisrael, nevertheless, the Rabbanan would go there on certain places near Eretz Yisrael that they should also have to observe those laws, and the reason is because they were afraid that people would beat the system, they'd run all across the border, and they would say, look, this grew over here, you know, and therefore, in order to make it that everybody should abide by the halachas of the Truman Meiser, the Rabbanu would go there, but only on places that were near Eretz Yisrael. Only on places near, the Rabbanu's Zera and Truman Meiser would apply, the Gemara refers to Surya, places like that, places which were adjacent on the map to Eretz Yisrael. But if you would have said, but what about in Miami? The answer is no. There would be no din even with the Rabbanu of Truman Meiser on something that was grown here. So therefore, so Rabbeinu Baruch says that this being the case, so we could say that, and based on that Mishnah, and based on other things which the time doesn't allow, the Rabbeinu Baruch came to the conclusion that actually the whole prohibition of Chodesh in Chutz La'aretz is only Midrabbanan, and the Rabbanan only made this Gzeira in places that were near Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, if a European jury to whom he was addressing himself, there would be absolutely no concern whatsoever because of the fact that this is outside, this is way out, this is beyond the pale, right, way removed from Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it should be mutter outright. And then he quotes that the Trumas Hadeshen, the Magen Avraham quotes, the Chen of Trumas Hadeshen, B'Shem Ar Zeruah, there were people, there were Rishonim that said this, that also looking for a terem, and they said this must be we don't have to deal with it because of the fact that we rely on we have basis to say that the war of Chodesh does not apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as far as we are. This is the way, this is the presentation here of the Magen Avraham. If you read further, he makes reference to the whole issue with the Mishnayos. So give me just 1 second. So he says at the end, at the very end of the Magen Avraham, the very last line, he says, his closing words, he says, after everything is said and done, he says that liyashiv min ha'olam, that this that I've said until now is liyashiv min ha'olam. Liyashiv min ha'olam means not necessarily that this is what I would have said on my own, that if you would have asked me objectively, should this be the halacha, the Magen Avraham himself indicates that probably not, you know, because after all, the Rif and the Rambam and the Rush, who were the Rabbi Yosef Karo in the introduction to the Shulchan Aruch, write that those were the pillars on which he based the halacha. Those are the three Gedolei Rishonim and Sak halacha. They all unequivocally say that it's Osir, and it's Osir min HaTorah, even in Chutz La'aretz. However, he says, liyashiv min ha'olam, in order to reconcile what we do with the reality, with the halacha, this is what I would have to say. And he concludes, Aval bal nefesh yachmir b'masha efshu olizar. He concludes by saying, but at the end of the day, a scrupulous person should try to be machmir if he can. So this heter, this is the heter of the it's called the Magen Avraham, it's not really the Magen Avraham heter, he's just saying it over. It's this heter which is found in some Rishonim. So you have again, on the one hand, the people who are the Machmirim would be the Rif, the Rush, and the Rambam. The people who would be Mekel would be Rabbeinu Baruch and Ar Zeruah and Maharil and Trumas Hadeshen, which are also from the Rishonim, not quite of the stature of the other three. So, but the Magen Avraham says, and in all likelihood, it's because, look, we're desperate. You know, we're desperate. We're in a very difficult situation. We live in a place that we live in countries where it's unbearable. I mean, if we're going to have to go by this, it's going to be unbearable. So therefore, the Magen Avraham says, okay, there are people that say it. There are Rishonim that say that too. So we have to liyashiv min ha'olam. We have the right to follow those Rishonim. This is what the Magen Avraham says. Yes.
What troubles me is that heter wouldn't work today because we're close in terms of time, aside from the geography.
Okay. So, right. So as it applies to us, so I know we're way over the time here. So the Mishnah Berurah, which I was going to get into, the Mishnah Berurah himself brings the heterim, and he brings all of them, and the Mishnah Berurah here in Siman Taf Pei Tes concludes by saying that he says after everything is said and done, the Mishnah Berurah says on the second wide line, he says, "V'hine av she'ein v'yodeinu limchos v'yad ha'nekilim." The Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, came out and said, look, we cannot complain against people who are lenient. If there are people who are lenient, we can't give them a hard time. Why not? Because of the fact that we have all the Heterim that we discussed, right? Even though each one in its own way has a shadow of doubt hanging over it, right? The Ramah's Heter and the Bach's Heter and the Magen Avraham's Heter, whatever it is. But nevertheless, these are great people who said it, and the Chafetz Chaim says, you know, what did I tell you? They have enough going for them that we can't tell someone they're doing the wrong thing. Nevertheless, he says, "Mikol Malkom Bakol Bal Nefesh Lo Yismoch Al Heterim Halol." Any person who's scrupulous should not rely on these Heterim. The Achmer LaAtzmo B'Chol Masha Efshelo. He says, and he should try to be Machmer for himself to whatever degree possible. And this is a key phrase: to whatever degree possible. Meaning, sometimes you could figure it out a little bit. So you know, it's not all or nothing. You know, okay, for this I know, for this I'll be machmir. He says, Ki wahadi gidoli rishonim hu isid daraisa b'chol gavni. The reason being, because as we mentioned, because no matter what we do, with all the kunsten, with all the attempts to be maturit, we can't get around the fact that the three pillars of halacha all say that there is no heter. They all say that it's asim b'daraisa b'chol makom, that's the killer. That's the killer, unless you're going to say the Svek Sveka. So, closer to home, bringing it closer to home, by us today, this is why today there has been a whole, movement, or a lot of people over the last generation, last 20, 25 years, who have begun to concern themselves with this. There are a lot of reasons why in America you could say it's different in general than what happened in Europe. Today, first of all, you could track the crops. They have, the codes on the various products, and therefore it is possible to even determine that to say you have a suffix is not so simple, because what's the suffix? You could find out. And also we know someone just last night emailed me something which said that for this year, let me see if I could pull it up very quickly, that, I'll just read you what this was sent out by the person who's involved in Yashan. Just an interesting statistic. It says the following thing. It says the United States Department of Agriculture says that for this year's spring crop, the question would be, was it planted before Pesach or after Pesach? Oats, 37%, spring wheat, 2%, barley, 3%. Okay, those are the numbers. Which means that, okay, so now it's not such a simple thing. In other words, here they're telling you that it's a spring. So now, I'm not trying to say, don't take this the wrong way. I'm not saying, therefore, you have to keep Yashan. That's not the purpose of the share. The purpose of the share, I'm just trying to bring out the two sides. In other words, the issues are, those who do, you know, sometimes you see a person who's careful about Yashan, you say, he's a fanatic, he's a Meshugana, you know, it's not such a crazy thing. Because the reality is, if you know the numbers, then the only thing you could rely on is to say, you know, what would be the answer to the United States Department of Agriculture? You'll have to say Rabbeinu Baruch. You'll have to say, well, that's all fine and good, but it doesn't apply, because we're far from Eretz Yisrael, so the heter is that we don't care. So even though that the president will tell us that only 2% of the barley has been planted, and everything you're going to see is chadash, doesn't matter, because it doesn't apply, because we're far from Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but on the other hand, the Rambam didn't accept that. The Rif didn't accept that. The Rush didn't accept that. So therefore, it's not such a simple matter. So the spirit has always been, the approach of the Kreitzer has always been, that because of the difficulty, we could rely on the lenient opinion. That has always been the approach. That probably still applies. The question just is, those who are going to be diligent in this, those who are going to concern themselves with Yashan, will tell you, if you have a Friday night, you have company over, you want to start a good argument right at your table, you want to liven things up for Shabbos, bring up this topic with someone who's not been on Yashan. Just wait till you get them going. And they'll tell you, what do you mean? There's nothing in the world you could rely on. There's no heter, there's no nothing, and the facts are stacked against us. And even they say, you know, and those people who say, yeah, I read online, somebody said that Ramosha Feinstein wasn't careful about it, and Rabbi Yosef Ben Soloveitchik once announced publicly, Brisker announced publicly that he did not concern himself with it, but they'll tell you that the answer to that is, that because in those days there was such a surplus of wheat that even the grain that was grown in the spring didn't get to your table till a year later, which is maybe a frightening thought in its own right. But the fact of the matter is that they say that has changed. So therefore, there's a lot of doubt swirling around this. Therefore, you have both sides of the story. You have the Heterim, the Minig has always been throughout the Ashkenazic Golas to be Mekel. Those who today are Machmir will point to the Shitas of the Gedolei Rishonim, and that's pretty much the way it stacks up. Yes, sir.